Hi, I'm Daryl, compulsive overeater. Yeah, gosh, so we're going to be talking about the fourth step, and the fourth step is made up of three separate inventories, according to the big book, the resentment, fear, and the sex inventory. We're going to just be concentrating on the resentment inventory tonight. But when it came to doing my fourth step, just getting started with it, I had the darndest time. It was I had a fear around it. I don't think I wanted to see all that stuff down on paper, and and of course I thought about beyond that, giving it away, then making amends, stuff like that. It was not those were not high on my priority list, and. But anyway, so I was procrastinating for several months, doing a little bit here and a little bit there. And my sponsor one day, she just told me, "Look, Daryl, you're not a newcomer anymore. You've got to get off your ass and do your fourth step." And I decided, well, I'm going to do it. And so I decided I was going to go over to the, I think it's the Pomona Library that has the big trees around it and everything, and I was going to go over there, and I was going to do it there on a Saturday. And so I grabbed all my stuff and I went over there, and I sat down at one of the tables. I just was kept getting distracted, and I couldn't get anything on paper. I couldn't get it started. It's too noisy here by the front of the library. I'll go to the back part. And I went back there. I couldn't do it back there. And then finally, I went outside and sat under those trees, and I'll do it there. And I couldn't do it there. I couldn't do, I hardly got anything down at all. And so then I went to I went home. I had not done it, had not even made a recognizable start on it, actually. And so the next day was a church day. It was Sunday, and I was getting ready to go to church, and I had I just got this idea, maybe you should do your four step instead. And I decided I'd give it a try, and it just flowed. It just all ended up on paper, and it was really it was much simpler than I thought it was going to be. And so that was my experience, and actually getting started on it, and then finally writing it. But so I finished the resentment inventory, and so I called my sponsor. I was so excited, and I called my sponsor, and I said, "Hey, I finished my resentment inventory, and I want to give it away." And she said, "Well, what about the fear and the sex inventory?" And I said, "Well, I haven't done those yet, but I'll do those." And then later she said, "No, you won't. You're going to do, the big book says you're going to do all three. You're going to do all three. Then you call me." And okay, so went back to the drawing board, and it took me a little bit, but I finished all three. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll get to talk about the fifth step, giving it away. But that was getting it down on paper. That was a tough part for me. But one of the things that really helped me get it down on paper, I was going to this step study from the beginning when I first came into program, and the somebody came up with a formula. You saw how tonight, in looking at the columns that appear in the big book, that can be somewhat confusing, and it was for me, I know. And so anyway, somebody came up with this format, and it has the same information in it, but it's organized a lot differently. And this all four columns are going to be on one sheet, unless you have a spillover on some of the stuff, and you have to write on the back of the sheet, or attach another sheet. That's okay. But anyway, but we're going to have this stack of sheets when I would go in to give it away to my sponsor. So you can go ahead and put that form up there now, Sandy, and I can kind of go through it with folks. There we go. Okay, so yeah, you just leave it right there for now. And so the columns aren't actually columns, but they are in the book, so and they're referred to as columns, so we're going to keep them that way. So column one, who or what am I resentful at or about? And and so for me to when I got started, I didn't say this, but when I went to sit down at the library, I already had my column one pretty much. That I could do. I knew the people that I was resentful at, and so I had just gone through this whole stack of sheets with just put a name or an institution on there. So I had this whole stack of sheets with all these the names on it, and that was for me to get started. That was the best I could do, and so then that was my all my column ones were all done. And so now column two, this was the interesting part. Column two, the cause, why am I angry? And that was and on that one, what I usually tell the guys that I work with on this step is to take as much space as you need to. This is probably one of the most important parts of it is to get that anger on paper. And one of the things that now we're doing a step four, but I use the same format for step 10, the daily inventory. And one of the things that I know is that on my step 10s, that it really helps for me to do it while I'm still angry. Because I have access to emotions that I really don't have looking back. So in the fourth step, we're looking back at the at these times, and so we have to kind of reconstruct a little bit on this. So the cause, why am I angry? And that can go on this fill up this column, turn the paper over and fill up the back. And I've even had some spillover more than that. I had one guy that was really an angry guy, and he used to just about write a book on each one of these guys, and so that's you take you the main thing is to get the resentment down on paper, because usually we don't. We get it. We just it just sits in our head. And we just ruminate over it over and over and over again, just chewing on that bone over and over and not getting anywhere with it. And we need to get past this stuff or it kills us. That's what the book just told us. So filling out column one on each sheet, then taking a look at columns two and three. So column two, of course, is the cause, and so we're going to get that down on both sides if we have to, and we're going to be thorough. Remember, it said in the book, "Be fearless and thorough" was really important things that we needed to do, and so we're going to do that. And now we're going to turn to column three, and column three is how it affects me. And so now these are the different things that are mentioned in the reading tonight. We're not making stuff up. This is came right out of there. It was just put in a different order, one that made sense to me and made my job a lot easier in writing and doing my four step. So there's going to be a sheet of paper for each resentment. And so then I've written out the why I'm angry. Now I'm looking at column three. How does it affect my self-esteem? How does it make me feel? That's the question for this box is how does it make me feel? Does it make me feel better than, less than, angry, sad, hurt? Any number of things, but it calls for us to sit and think about it. What does, or what, when looking back, what did it bring up for us as, and as far as a self-esteem, how did it make us feel? And so that's so that's one box. And you can and that's the same as the column two box, is that if it takes more than what'll fit in that little box that's right there, don't hesitate to roll the paper over and say number column three continued, and just start just keep writing. And to be thorough is really a big important part of this thing. And so then the next one is security, how it affects my security. And this one I had some difficulty with. And I drove my poor sponsor nuts, because I every time I would get to this box, I would just draw a blank, because the only thing that I could think of was security meant money. That meant financial. And a lot of these things had no finances involved at all. I mean, probably even more than half. And so I would get stumped every time I would come to that. And after she had explained it to me so many different times, she finally put it in a way that I could understand. She said, "Look, your security is supposed to be in God. The fact that you're writing this means that your security is in something else other than God. You've got to identify what that is, and you've got to put that there. That's how your the that's get what's getting affected is your that part of your security." And when she said that, I started thinking about it. So what was it? If it wasn't pocketbook, because there is such a thing as pocketbook security, it said so right in the book. But the other part of the security, what it turned out to be for me, was looking good to others. And almost always the ones that I had troubled with this section, that they had made me look bad one way or another, either embarrassed me because of my weight, embarrassed me because of the amount of food on my plate, or embarrassed me in business, maybe got the better of a deal with me, and made me look bad to my peers in the business world. And so the biggest, the quickest shortcut to get on my list of resentment list was to make me look bad. And so my security wasn't looking good. And that held true for resentment after resentment. A lot of resentments came filled in that category. That person made me look bad, or somehow embarrassed me in front of others. And so that was my security. So I, if we're looking at that column, I would say that that it actually has two faces. It has the pocketbook face, and then it has the security. If it's not a financial, then it's something else. And trying to find out what that is important, because once I found that out, I saw that it appeared in resentment after resentment, that I saw a real pattern that became very important for me to identify. And so then the next one is ambitions. This is an interesting one. What did you want instead? We know what we didn't like what we got, but what did I want instead? And I was shocked at how many times I did not know the answer to that. Now, if I don't know what I wanted instead, how the hell is somebody else going to know what I wanted instead? So somehow or other, I've got to be able to learn how to communicate my needs. And so that this was an indication of a character defect of where I was not communicating my needs properly. I was expecting people to guess what it was, and then being pissed at them because they didn't fulfill that. And so I really got to see that in a lot of these the different resentments, that I hadn't considered that. And so that became an important piece of the picture for me. And then the fear, what was I afraid that might happen? Let's say if it were,
5 minutes.
okay, thanks. Something to do with my wife. Maybe I would be afraid that she would be angry with me, or that she would, maybe I'd be afraid she'd leave me, who knows? And but I would have there would be a self-centered fear in there, and so it was important for me to get that down on paper. And then the most important little box is that last one, personal and sex relations. What did I do because of this resentment? And so what did I do? What if this was a relationship thing between me and my wife, and I gave my wife the silent treatment? I didn't talk to her for 2 days. What if it was with a friend and I refused to take their call? And I ghosted them in some way or another. And maybe I actually did something violent. Maybe I punched somebody. Maybe I called them names. And so there was a lot of different responses that I might have here, but whatever it was, this is going to be the box that is most likely going to tell me whether I owe an amends or not. Because if I did something, all of those things I just mentioned, I'm going to owe an amends for that. But if I just thought it, I don't owe an amends. So it's one of those things that they might have pissed me off, and I might have sat there for a little while and I said, yeah, I'd like to punch him in the nose, but I didn't punch him in the nose. And so it's my amends is for what I did, not for what I thought. Okay, now column four. So this is really important because the a lot of people, I'm the fact is I've been surprised. I've run across people that have worked the steps in other programs, and they don't know about column four. Because it doesn't appear until 2 pages later. And you saw tonight, what did we do? We turned back to our list. So my sponsor had me fill out all three columns here. No column four yet. So I had all of my resentments. I had column one, column two, and column three totally completed. Now I was to take up my list. I was to turn back to my list and I was to look at it. I would review what I had already written about those first three columns. And now I sat down and I did my fourth column. How was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or frightened? Selfish. Well, the one way I'm always selfish is I'm only looking at it from my point of view, not considering the other person's point of view. And I need to do that. I need to put myself in their shoes and look at it from their perspective. And maybe I might get some understanding there of why what I did pissed them off. And then dishonest. Remember that the purpose of the writing is to see the truth. This is a very, very important box. And my sponsor had me start every dishonest box with these words, "The truth is." And I needed to ferret out what that truth was and to get it down on paper. Try to be objective, as objective as you can be. And and God should come in on this box, by the way, because the truth is that God's in control. And the truth is that God owns all the finances. He owns all the banks, he owns all the money. All of these things. So God is the one that's in charge of everything, not me. And so that's the truth. Now, in this one, the sponsor's role is really important because the sponsor's role is to help the person see the truth. Because as a sponsor, I'm able to see it more objectively than the person themselves sometimes. And I need to have the courage to start to speak up and say, maybe
One minute.
thank you, that I need to really go to do this a little bit differently. And so let me move on to the self-seeking. What hidden agenda item might I have? What hidden motive might I have? In other words, then this one is addressing any manipulation that I might have, my desire to get even with somebody in some sort of a passive aggressive way might show up there. And then frightened, I fear that I might lose or might not get something, might lose something I have or that I might not get. And it might be that losing somebody's respect, that might be the fear. And again, I might look bad, so that might be the fear. So that's it. But anyway, that dishonest thing, just to circle back on that one, to just make sure that we look at it from the spiritual point of view in that that box as well. And that's it for the form. There's millions of different forms, and a lot of them are a lot different than this. This one is pretty faithful to the big book instructions that we just read tonight. That's it. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Daryl. Group, would we like Daryl to talk a little bit longer? We didn't have a very long reading time.
Yes,
Yes.
Marie. Yes.
Yes, we've all
Please.
agreed.
Yes,
Daryl, can
please continue.
Well,
Thank
I could
you.
continue, but I think that it would be better if I did a question and answer period with you guys.
You know what? Thank you. Yes. Maybe you could flesh out, at least for me, frightened, just talk a little bit more about that because I got just like one
The
sentence down.
the frightened this we're talking about self-centered fear, and that made that I was afraid to maybe bring something up, so I that was the reason I didn't bring something up, was I was afraid of what might happen, and so that's why it belongs, that's why it's, it belongs in the in the fourth column. That was my mistake. So that fourth column is my mistakes, and that was my mistake. I should have brought something to the other person's attention, but I was afraid to. And so what is the fear? If we were to be doing the fear inventory, the fear is that God's not going to come through. Somehow that I'm going to lose something that and it's getting back to that dishonest part. God's in charge. I'm not going to lose anything. He doesn't want me to. And I had a guy once that I sponsored. He was he came from a long history in AA, and he had a little prayer, says, God, please don't let me get into anything you can't get me out of. And that's a good prayer, I think. And it's and that's one of where it's based in the truth that God is in charge, and that he's the one that we have to count on to take us through these different difficult times that we have. Any more questions?
Thank you. Who else has a question? Go ahead. I know we're all still writing. If maybe you could spend a little more time on self-seeking. I only had like one sentence, two sentences on that one.
Self-seeking. That's actually a pretty big one, because self-seeking could include codependency, and that's a and that can be a almost an inventory of its own. But it can include I'm doing it because I want you to think better of me. I'm not telling you something that I need to tell you because I don't want you to think worse about me. And I want you to, I want to do, practice my people pleasing here. And so I don't tell the truth. And it causes some other difficulty because I didn't. And so these are things that that can blossom out and really, you remember, one of the things that we're looking for is our list of character defects. That's one of the things that's supposed to come out of the inventory, so that when we identify something like that, if we had a codependency that showed up in that column, then moving that over and putting it on a character defect list, I think is the is part of the purpose of the inventory. And so, you know, we're looking for two things. We're looking for the list of people that we're going to make amends to, and we're looking at the character defect list. And so both of those lists are supposed to come out of this inventory. And so that's why the inventory needs to be thorough. And I really I didn't realize that the importance of the personal and sex relations thing. I had a when I was doing my original inventory, I had a resentment against this guy that used to work for me. And the guy had had filed a workers' comp, and I thought that it was a phony claim, but that was my opinion. And but at any rate, the hearing was on Christmas Eve, and so we get in this hearing, and this judge just rips me and my company to pieces. But we were just terrible, terrible people, and it really bothered me. And I came home, and I was sulked the whole Christmas holiday. I had five kids, and they're looking forward to Christmas, and they didn't have a dad that Christmas because I just sat there and sulked the whole thing. And so then, when I realized that when I was writing that, what did I do? And it didn't even have anything to do with the guy that caused me to write in the first place. And it was what I had done. And so the amends for that affected my kids and my second, not only the rest of the time with my kids from my first marriage, but with my kids from my second marriage. You know, because if I when I made my amends for that Christmas thing, I was also making a commitment to not let it happen again at Christmas time, that I was going to be there, and I was going to be a parent that was part of the Christmas celebration. So it can come. There's a lot of ways that things come up, but God's in charge. But He's going to lead us through those more obscure parts of this, and we're going to have insights that happen. And I had an insight that happened when doing my writing, that I realized that I had a whole bunch of people that I didn't want to go see with that were in the hospital. And I had a reason for it. We had a genetic disease in our family, and so I had a lot of aunts, uncles, and cousins that died. I didn't. My immediate family didn't get it, but I had a lot of relatives that did. Well, I wouldn't go to the hospital to see them because it would make me feel insecure. And so when I realized that when I was writing my inventory, that I had all these hospitalizations that looked like different different I think it was on my fear and or sex inventory. I can't remember which. I think it was a fear inventory, and that it kept showing up. And then I realized that was a shortcoming that I had. And God took care of that because He can constantly sent me people that were hospitalized, and I had a lot of people that I would end up going to the hospital to visit in program, and outside of program too, by the way. So it because I still had cousins that were ill with this disease, And their disease, Huntington's disease, is the disease that they had. But then I got to start paying attention to them and making those hospital visits. Marcia, I see you have your hand up.